So Stacy last week talked about the tree and the tree of life, and here it comes up again. and I kind of realized last week as he was talking, I have had a tree in my life since I met the Lord. There's been a tree that I will go to whenever I need it. And in various stages and various times in my life, and basically, you know, in my imagination, I will sit by that tree. And the first time, I wasn't going to tell this story either, but then the music, then you play a song that has it in there, and I had to do this too. Okay, so, Holy Spirit, this is like Holy Spirit gotcha day, okay? All right, just saying. So the memory I had of the most of my young life, I had a memory, and it was my earliest memory. And I was probably like 2. And the memory was that there was a cat that got run over by a truck. And I remember it. I remembered it so well. I remembered walking up to, like, in the road, you know, as a toddler, that's not something you really do, so it was a really big thing for me to walking to the road, because I saw the cat get run over, and I went, and I, you know, saw this flattened cat, and that was the memory, that was it. It was just this horrible memory, you know, and anytime anybody would say, you know, what's your earliest memory, that's what I would say, well, I saw a dead cat. Like, I don't know why I remember that. That's crazy, you know. But basically, in my healing journey, somebody was praying for me. I think this was, yeah, we were overseas at this time. And they were praying for me, and I saw that picture of that dead cat. And, you know, whoever was praying was like, did God say anything to you? Did you see anything? Like, yeah, I saw the dead cat. Like, ooh, why do I have that memory? You know? And so it was a woman. She said, okay, well, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to go to that memory, to think about that moment, and see if God shows you anything else. So I closed my eyes, and I saw the dead cat. And then all of a sudden, I turned around, and I saw my house. I saw my home. And I knew inside that house, my mom was in there, and she was crying. Because this was when my parents divorced. It was just like immediately. I just knew what was going on, right? And I was feeling all just the pain of that, you know? And I walked towards the house. This is all in my mind's eye. You know, walked towards the house. And there's a tree. This big tree. And before I could get to the house, Jesus is there. And he just kind of meets me. And I'm just a little toddler in my mind, you know, because that's how old I was when this happened. And he meets me there. And he says, you know, I don't know what he said, actually. He didn't say anything. He didn't need to say anything. He was just there. But he had little tiny sandals that he put on my feet. And this robe that he put on my, you know, around me. And then he just began to play with me. And there was a swing on the tree. And, you know, he just, in that place of pain, in that traumatic place, God met me there. Jesus introduced me to who I really was, you know, in that place. And he began to teach me that he wanted to make me just like him. And so that was the first time I saw the tree. So, you know, early it was like I would go to the tree when I needed the tree. And then the tree became more of a staple. Like, I just, like, would sit under the tree all the time. And I would just, it was just always there. And then the tree began to open up. And it became where I lived, inside the tree. So, Stacy, if you guys didn't listen to Stacy's message last week, you need to put it up. I don't know if it's up, but anyway, I lived inside the tree. And so that was such a good reminder to remember last week and to sit there with him inside the tree. Because we have been through a kind of trauma this last year together. It's been a very traumatic year, and I don't think life is going to be the same. When you have a traumatic season, it's not the same. It could be good or bad afterwards, but it's not the same. You are different. So it changes us in one way or another after things like that. And I know as a mom, you know, each of my kids, when they go through these moments, these traumatic moments that we've experienced as families, you know, that we've done, had in our life, they all kind of react differently, you know, in it. They act differently as we're going through it. Some people get really busy doing things, and then later on have like a falling apart moment. You know, some people are crying and in the moment, and they're really good at just getting in touch with their feelings immediately, and it's just tears. Some people ignore it, shut down. Some get angry and they fight, you know, they bicker at each other. There's all kinds of manifestations of how we have fear and pain, you know, when we're affected by these things. And then we have coping mechanisms that break in, and we start to do things to just fill ourselves with other stuff because we're trying to cope with the pain and the fear, you know. And this is the first time I think we've experienced something that's been this long drawn out traumatic thing, you know. So this is brand new, I think, for all of us. But oftentimes, you know, when something happens, when a trauma happens, one of the places I've done this, you know, you'll all of a sudden, it's like, what did I do wrong? You go to these, like, what's wrong with me? Like, how can I fix this? What do I need to do to make this right? You know? And we kind of get into like a cycle of guilt and shame, you know? And this year too, some of us have had to deal with anger because maybe a family member, I don't know about any of you, but I've lost a couple family members this year and friends. Not lost them totally, but lost their hearts for me, for us. And it's very painful. So Stacy said last week, you know, he was preaching the message to himself. Well, I'm preaching to myself just so you guys know, okay? because I've been all of these things this year. I've been all of these things. I've been angry. I've been, you know, mad at the world. I've been whatever, everything, all of it. But I think, you know, the breaking point was this last week, and probably for a lot of us it was. I guess I'm saying all this because I really felt the Lord just wanted to, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. You know, he comforted me this week and in the last few days, and I really just wanted, he wants to comfort you too. And all of the songs that were sung just are, it's kind of amazing. But being real and honest about where you're at and what you've, how you've dealt with this is the first step in the healing process. And so I also want to just give you permission as a mom to open up your hearts. And, you know, it's really awesome that Laura kind of had a similar message for us on Friday of just getting open, opening up our hearts again. When my kids are hurting, I can see it. I know. It's very obvious to me. But it's when they can be honest with their pain, when they can finally just know what it is, say it clearly, express it out loud, that's when there's healing. That's when they can heal. And that's what we need to do as a family. Basically, when you are when you're not being honest with yourself, there's a gap. I've talked about this before. There's a gap between the lies that we say and what our heart actually believes. There's a gap, and the enemy lives in that gap between what is true and what our heart knows is true. What our reality is looking like and what our heart's like, you know. And in that gap, the enemy comes in and he starts lying to us and hurting us more with words of guilt and shame. So we need to get God's truth, and I think that's what he wanted to sing too, is just getting us back to his truth of who we are. So an example would be, you know, like you want to get prayer for healing, but you've already convinced yourself that you're not worthy of healing. Like in your heart says that. Your heart believes that. So if you're saying that to yourself, if you're believing that lie, how can you receive? You can't. You're blocking your own healing. Because our hearts don't lie to us. So, I've been mourning the loss of, you know, these relationships, family and friends, and been on this journey of learning about America like I never was so interested in what's going on, you know? It's kind of amazing the journey that we've been on. I see the giants now. It's kind of like I was telling the ladies on Friday. It's like I feel like I've been one of those spies that went out into the land and was there with the binoculars for a really long time watching the giants, and now I'm coming back going, I don't know if I can tell you that these are grasshoppers or not. These don't feel like grasshoppers. But they are. We have to believe that. They are. But then I've been feeling a lot of guilt because of the time spent, you know, kind of learning and looking and just all these times where I've kind of handled things not right or whatever. I've just been letting the enemy lie to me. And then this week, so God spoke to me. And now I know that I need to get back in the tree. And we've been hearing a lot about deliverance lately, you know, or the last couple months. I mean, we were singing about deliverance, right? And we've been asking God to deliver us. And, you know, the Red Sea is going to part. And we've been just talking about that a lot. And so it's kind of been a theme, even in the country and different various speakers. And so that's been in my head, you know, and I've been kind of focused in that way. Like, we need deliverance. We need deliverance. Deliver us from this evil God. So I was positioning myself in that direction and thinking about that story, thinking about Moses and the Promised Land and Israelites and all of that. And then God told me to read Isaiah 46. And my eyes just went right to this section. I kind of alluded to this on Friday, but it said, this is Isaiah 46:11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man Cyrus, who executes my counsel from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stiff-hearted, and you who have lost heart, you who are far from righteousness, from uprightness and right standing with God, and from his righteous deliverance. I bring near my righteousness in the deliverance of Israel. It will not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Yes, give salvation in Zion and my glory to Israel. So, that just kind of hit me like a lightning bolt. I don't know what part stood out to you, but the thing is, when it says in verse 12, you who are far from righteousness, from uprightness. When I see the word uprightness, it immediately takes me to a time that God spoke to me about walking uprightly. In Psalm 15, 1 through 2, it says, Lord, who shall dwell temporarily in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell permanently on your holy hill? He who walks and lives uprightly and blamelessly, who works rightness and justice and speaks and thinks the truth in his heart. So it was a season in my life where my head was down. My head was down all the time, and I was looking, you know, belly button gazing, and just really thought I was a bad kid. I mean, I grew up with a lot of, like, words about being a bad kid. So it took me a while to learn that I wasn't a bad kid in God's eyes. So he lifted my head. He lifted my head, and he said, walk up rightly. I want your head up because you are good. You're a good kid. You're perfect just the way you are, you know? And he tells us to lift our heads and walk uprightly because it's his righteousness. It's not ours. It's his righteousness. So I immediately saw that word and thought, oh, ugh, where have I been? Where have I been standing recently? Where is my position? How have I been walking in this lately, in this last couple months? It's been really hard. So I just saw that it just kind of knocked me out of position. I was knocked the perspective. Stacy was talking about perspective. I lost my perspective. It says you are far from righteousness, from uprightness and right standing with God, and from his righteous deliverance. And I never saw that before because I've been thinking about deliverance. I never saw before that it's the same thing. When you're standing in a place of, I'm stuck in Egypt, I need to be set free, I need to be delivered, I'm in chains, so I need to get free, because the world's kind of blanketed us this year, like the suffocation of, we've sort of let it sort of cover us and take us away from the truth. The truth is, we've already been delivered. That is the truth. we've already been delivered. Galatians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." So, he gave us himself to deliver us. This is one of the reasons he gave us to be delivered, that we be completely healed, saved, and delivered. The word is sozoed. Now, I'm not saying our nation doesn't need deliverance, okay? I'm not saying that. Or some of us don't have some circumstances that we need deliverance from. I'm not saying that either. But when we change our minds and remember our position, that we've been set free, little by little, it comes from inside, little by little, everything changes. Our heads come up. Okay, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. I mean, we've been kind of stirring it up in ourselves recently about, like, getting ready to win, you know, and that we are victorious. But we need to go even further in the tree, because I feel like there's more to this. We're strangers in this land, you know? We are. We're strangers. We've been delivered. We are the ones, you know, sitting at the right hand of the Father, going, looking at the world and going, come up here. Our position is with him in the tree, free already, delivered. That's our position, and we need to shake ourselves out of this, you know, this thing that came over us, and we need to take a deep breath and let him love us like he did this morning. When they walked out of Egypt, they had to know they were his people, right? They didn't know they were his people. They wouldn't have been able to walk out. And you were singing that song where he said, "You are mine." That's what God's saying over us today. You are mine. We are his. We belong to him. We belong in him. And we are his chosen people. He died to get us there. He died so that we would know, right? There may be giants there, but he's already given us the victory. We already have it already. And he's going to show us what we should be doing in the promised land. So we have to make the choice to walk out of that. Walk out of Egypt. We don't belong there. So in Isaiah 46 also it says, let's see, where does it say this? "I bring near my righteousness in the deliverance of Israel. It will not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will put salvation in Zion." So, Mount Zion, the physical place, but in Hebrews 12:22, it talks about the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's where we live with him, you know? We live in that place. And he puts it in. The key right there is in the mountain. God wants us to become the mountain. The ones who walked as delivered. We're walking as delivered of the Lord. And a while back, I did a whole study about mountains, and I've talked about this before, and how mountains, you know, they're also represent like a message that people unify around, and it becomes a mountain. And it's really interesting that we've kind of witnessed that with Trump. You know, we've witnessed he had one single message, and we, you know, there was a coming to this mountain, and it's become a giant mountain. But we want to create the Lord's mountain, right? We want it to be the Lord's mountain that rises up. But we all have a message, and we can all be a part of creating, bringing the mountain that's in us out to the world, right? So salvation and deliverance doesn't come from, like, I know that's one of the things that I've had to get my grasp this week, is like, okay, I really wanted it just to be easy, you know, could he just like save the world already, you know, and just Trump, you know, take over and then like get all the bad guys in one shot, you know, and be done with this. We could just, wouldn't that be nice, you know, so I could just go back to normal life, just comfortable. But nope. He puts it in us. It needs to grow in us and the church. And I believe it is. It is. It really is. Our hearts, our position, our who we are and what we know now, we're not gonna turn back. We're not gonna turn back. So it comes from the inside out. It's funny, in my, I think this is a Joyce Meyer Amplified. This is what it says regarding Isaiah 46:9, which says, earnestly remember the former things which I did of old, for I am God and there is no one else. I am God and there is none like me. So she says, the Lord says that he is the same God who has helped us in the past. He is able to declare in the beginning how things will turn out in the end. The word says, the Lord is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 1:8. He is also everything in between. Where did we hear that before? He knows before trouble ever shows up that we can be victorious if we fight the battle his way from the tree, right? His way is not a negative way, but a good and right way. God already has an answer before we have a problem. In Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, before the battle even, he's known. He's not, you know, worried about it. So, I wanted the music to stay, and I know I'm pretty much done with the word that I have, but I really feel like God wants to do more. He's not done. He started it, and I don't know if we should sing or not. Hillary, you help me if you think you should sing or not, okay? Maybe just sit in his presence for a little bit. But what I really want you to do is just get honest with yourself where you're at right now. Just get honest with yourself and the Lord and ask him, you know, to help you bring it to a closure, but also let him love you in that place, and forgive yourself, most importantly. Forgive yourself if that's what you need to do. I definitely needed to. So I want him, he wants to remind us. He wants to reset us, reset our hearts, and reposition us back into his heart. I'm just going to read one more psalm here. Those who trust in, lean on, and confidently hope in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides and stands fast forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forever. All right.
Can we just get the worship team up and we'll just figure out what we're going to do here? I think it's appropriate to just invite people forward. He just wants to lift our head. So if this message spoke to you, just come on up to the front and do business with God, like Casey said. Just share with him where you're at and then let him take it from you. I've been in the presence of the Lord and literally felt the Lord just like grow me. And I knew it was my spirit being lifted up again. I physically felt taller after the encounter. And that's what the Lord wants to do for those of us who want to receive it from him. So just do what Casey said. Share with the Lord where you're at, what's going on with you. Just be honest. But most importantly, don't stay there. Let the Lord feed you. Let the Lord sit with you. Let the Lord minister to you and let him lift your head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can I get some people up that are not engaged with the Lord, I guess, that want to come and minister to these folks? This is just what I'm feeling from the Lord, that he's listening to us, he loves us, he's being gentle, and then he just suddenly shakes us, and it's time to change, it's time to change, it's time to change, right? He's shaking us out of our self-pity, he's shaking us out of our navel-gazing, he's shaking us out of our stinking thinking, he's doing us suddenly. You have something? Ha, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm just going to obey. I didn't want to do this. I listened to a brother over in California this week who's been ministering to people on the streets for years now. And he said for years he hasn't changed a thing. And he'll go to complete sinners or believers who've been believers for years, and he'll give them one instruction and say, I invite you to take this challenge with me. And I did it. And it wrecked me. And God's definitely speaking me to share this with you. And think about if you are a complete non-believer or a believer, how much God's truth and his love resounds in each one of us. Because it's eternal. His truth is eternal, and it comes from forever. Just like in Isaiah 46, when he said, I spoke the end from the beginning. This is why this resounds in each one of us. So I invite each one of you, do exactly what I say. Close your eyes for a minute and say out loud with me, God, I am a treasure to you. Just breathe in, breathe out for a second. One more time. God, you treasure me.
You treasure me.
And think about the truth that resounds in a person's soul from the inside that God created in you. Whether you know him or not, how it can just wreck a person from eternity. God, I am a treasure to you. And then he shared in Isaiah 43, thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I called you by your name because you're mine. And I'm going to speak this over each one of us today because we just said it. We are his treasure. He has a purpose for us. written in 2 Corinthians 5. We're here to reconcile man to him. Reconcile in body, soul, spirit. That's our job. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's set free from sin, we're reconciling the world to God. But we can't reconcile the world to God if we don't know who we are first. We are one spirit with Christ. He didn't come here and sow the seed of a son so that he could reap servants. He came here to reap sons. We are his sons and daughters. We are in him. He's in us. We are here to manifest Christ. So today, healing be manifested. Healing be manifested and full knowledge be manifested in Christ and in the full knowledge of who you are in Christ. It's written all throughout the New Testament. You are the body. We are the body of Christ. He is our head. Let's be the body. Close your eyes with me one more time and let's say this together. God, I am your treasure. You sent from the beginning of time to find me. Manifest your spirit in me. I will manifest your spirit, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you're the lifter of our heads. I just saw strings like marionette. You've seen like a puppet with a bunch of strings on its legs and feet and head and all that stuff. I just saw we were all marionettes, and the Lord grabbed all the strings, and you just stood us all up. He just stood us all up. So in the name of Jesus, I lift you up. The Lord is lifting you up. He's standing you upright. He's lifting your head. He's standing up and rising up within you. May your spiritual stature and your physical stature measure the stature of Christ. We are filled with the fullness of Christ. Stand up in Christ. thank you, Lord. Thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for washing away disappointment. Thank you for washing away guilt and shame. Thank you for washing away depression and hopelessness. Thank you, Lord, that there's a new wind blowing today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ha! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I saw a weird picture. How many of you, when you were a kid, you made a little periscope with a cardboard milk carton? You know the rectangular milk cartons? It's like a quart, I guess, a quart. And then you cut a square out of the top in the front. You cut a square out of the bottom in the back. And then you take some square mirrors and you angle one in the bottom and angle one in the top and it's like a little periscope. How many of you made one of those when you were a kid? Does everyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? I saw us all as those periscope milk cartons. And I looked at the top of everybody, and I could see Jesus' eyes peering, like, you know, behind, up, and through. So, Father, I thank you for your perspective. I thank you that your eyes are looking through us. I thank you that we are your vehicles on this earth. We are your periscopes, and we ask that you would give us your eyes to see the world, to have a clear, accurate perspective, but also, Lord, that your eyes of blazing fire for the lost would shine through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those milk cartons are empty in the middle, too, so that his gaze can look right through. It's just him. It's just him. It's just him. It's just him. Thank you, Lord. 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 All right. If you're still doing business with God, we want to bless that. Don't interrupt that. But for the rest of you, we want to bless you and release you. If you have kids in the back, you're welcome to go grab them. We love you all. Have an awesome day. Go give them heaven out there. We'll have prayer on Wednesday night here. Yeah. Okay. Hillary's going to sing a song, but the rest of you are released if you want to go. Yeah. Casey declared it. It's not my fault. Don't blame me. It's her. Blame her.